From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
As if cottagers don't have enough to deal with, as in contending with the evil black fly and the ever-present mosquito, along comes the murder hornet. A regular hornet sting is bad enough, and I've had too many encounters of my liking when I lived on the shores of Baptiste Lake near Bancroft. They were in my fishing shed, under the steps going down to the dock, and under the ground near my wife's garden. But the Asian murder hornet is something else. It's the size of a AA battery. It can wipe out an entire honeybee population faster than anyone can imagine. Thankfully, they are not in Ontario yet, the key word being yet, but some avid honeybee enthusiasts tracked down a colony of murder hornets to a lower mainland of BC and had it eradicated. But they can kill people too, like 50 a year or so. They didn't get the name murder hornets by being pacifists. If you happen to see a picture of one of these suckers, go online and look it up. These buggers are as scary looking as they sound. They have heads like a hammer, mandibles that evoke pain and suffering, and like I said, they are huge. How they got to BC is easily explained by the high number of ocean tankers traveling between China and British Columbia. Right now, there is absolutely nothing good to say about China, which I have pillaged regularly in my Sun Media column, and now murder hornets. I hate to think what's next. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journalist, 4759 The Fan, Angela Viola. Stephen Labadie doing his last program as a full-time member of this show, but you never know. Things might change. Come back for a guest appearance as a guest. What is it you do back? Engineer. Guest engineer.
Oh, I think you mean a guest like me sitting in with you talking to you for 2 hours.
No, I wouldn't mind.
That's not interesting at all.
I would not be that mean to the audience. But a guest engineer, maybe.
Maybe.
Is in the future for you. I don't know. Is it me or does Mark sound like he is on tour in Outer Mongolia this morning, doing his voiceover in a closet?
Yeah, it's different some days. It's echoey. Sometimes he's like, I think he's driving in a car doing it sometimes.
It's like when he was on traveling all over the world for Sun Media in some of those third world countries doing those great reports. That's what, as he was reading that, I thought, I could see him. I could see him in Outer Mongolia, hunkered down in a yurt somewhere, doing his report. Anyways. Yes, my next guest is somebody I have been admiring from afar. I've known about his love and his for fishing and his fishing prowess, but I've also admired him as an athlete and a sports figure, and later in his career as a manager and announcer for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm talking about Buck Martinez. Why do I call him Bark? My mouth's not working this
morning. It looks like Bark.
Yeah, right. It's Buck Martinez, former Major League Baseball catcher, manager, and television play-by-play announcer, broadcaster. Whew, for the Toronto Blue Jays. Is there anything he hasn't done for the Jays? Good morning, Buck. How are you?
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Steve. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure, man. How are things down in sunny Florida?
They're sunny and beautiful, that's for sure.
Now, I could hear the birds in the background. Are you piping those in or what?
You know what? It's been great down here. We've been very fortunate to have wonderful weather, and things are getting back closer to normal for sure.
Well, I want to talk to you about that. Let's get into that right now, because it's hard not to start a conversation with somebody and ask them how they're doing during the hunker down period of this COVID-19. How long have you been in lockup mode?
Well, we haven't been in lockup mode very long. Initially, early on, we did, and we kind of abided by all of the recommendations. But as things went on and we started to learn more and more about this, we kind of just said, you know what, we got to live our lives. And we went about our business, and now everything is getting close to normal. The malls have opened, the barbershops, salons have opened, restaurants are open, and people are moving around. And when you look at US 19, And Blue Jay fans all know about U.S. 19, how busy it can be. But it's getting very close to being back to normal on the highway, which means good things for Florida.
Wow, good for you. We're just starting to peer our heads out of the hole, as it were, having a look around. So hopefully we're not too far behind you.
That would be a good thing.
No kidding. Before we get into the fishing end of this, which is the primary reason we wanted you on the program today, let's just quickly cover baseball. So what's your opinion? Are we looking at some kind of season coming up soon?
Well, hopefully, Angelo, and I know there are a lot of things that have to be approved and agreed upon, and first and foremost, the health and safety of all the people involved, the players, the coaches, the managers, the trainers. It doesn't appear as though we're going to have fans, and possibly for the entire season, if there is a season. But I think both sides are trying to work it out. I don't think anybody should come to any conclusions about who's right, who's wrong in the ongoing pursuit of getting the game back on the field. Just wait until there is a decision. Wait until there are some concrete ideas about how baseball will return, and then you can make your judgment. But right now, obviously, Toronto's going to be a difficult situation because of the restrictions in the city, in the country, in the province. But I think baseball understands, and Florida Governor Rick DeSantis has said this, all sports teams are welcome in Florida. So that's one possibility. But I think we've got a chance of seeing maybe an 82-game season, and hopefully that news will come out in the next week or so.
Buck, are you surprised that maybe surprise is not the right word, but are you surprised that there are ongoing discussions right now about salary caps and escrows and all that stuff in baseball? Or do you
I don't think it's time.
No.
I don't think it's time to be negotiating. I think it's time to be figuring out how you get the game back on the field.
Yeah.
This is such an unusual situation. For me, this is just a one-off situation. I hope that we never in our lifetime have another situation like this, and I think both sides in the labor situation should understand that. Make the best decision you can for the sport, the industry, and the country, North America, because I think fans want to see sports back, at least on television. I know NASCAR is going to have a race tomorrow in Darlington, and I think that's an encouraging sign. I know it's not as popular in Canada as it is in the U.S., but it's a big deal in the U.S. to have the ability to watch a live sporting event for the first time since early March.
I mean, up here we're consuming championship lawn bowling events that took place in the mid-80s, for God's sakes, on TV. So we'll take just about anything. You know, not that there's anything wrong with lawn bowling, so don't write into me about lawn bowlers. I love them all. But you're right. It's getting to the point where, I mean, we're obviously hurting for hockey. That's our big thing up here, and it's painful, man. It's painful. Like you said, I hope we never have to experience this again. It's a one-of, hopefully, and it's something we can hand down to our children's children and be prepared in the event of. But regardless, I want to talk to you about, I find it fascinating, and I've said this many a time when we have guests on the program that are high-profile guests in other pursuits, whether it's athleticism or professionals or politicians or whatever the case may be, and they're also avid anglers, because I always find it interesting, because I know some of them. I've got a very good, close banker friend of mine, and he is a high-level banker, and he is the craziest fishing dude I know. But and please don't take this the wrong way, Buck, but he's in the closet. You know what I mean? He doesn't discuss the fact that he loves to get his hands on a fishing rod and go out with the boys on a weekend fishing when he's in the boardroom talking to the other banking community members, you know? And I always find that interesting that they want to kind of hide that from the rest of the world. What's your position on that?
I am very proud to be an outdoorsman. I always have been. Excellent. I grew up in Northern California. My mom is a Native American Indian. She was a Native American Indian, and my grandfather was quite an outdoorsman, and he taught all of his grandkids how to hunt and fish.
Nice.
And I can remember when we were 5, 6 years old, traipsing up a creek chasing trout, and he'd be fishing behind us after we disturbed every pool in the creek, and he'd be out fishing us like crazy. But, yeah, he taught me my love of fishing and hunting, and my dad passed it on as well. Nice. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to catch sailfish in Venezuela, catch sailfish in Costa Rica, fish on Lac Seul, fish all around Toronto, and I've loved fishing since I was a little boy.
Is it a big thing amongst the baseball playing community?
You know what? I think it used to be a lot bigger. I can remember we used to play a Sunday night game at the Exhibition Stadium, and then we'd go up to Lantern Marina on the Severn and fish all night, fish all morning on the off day, and come back late Monday night. But fishing for bass, a lot of our guys were from the south, Tom Hinkey, Garth Orge, myself, Ken Maka. We would all go up to the Lantern Marina, and we'd call them the day before. They'd have our names on the boats, and we'd go out in the dark, and we knew the place like the back of our hand. But we fished an awful lot up there, and it was a great time.
Nice, nice. I often wondered about people like yourself, you know, professional athletes, especially baseball players, where I mean, you're busy all summer long, and of course up here that's our fishing season. I always wondered how you managed to squeeze it in. Now I get a better inkling of that. You're putting it in wherever there's a few hours of daylight or night in this case.
You know what? We always did that, and even when I started in big leagues in Kansas City, there were so many farms around the Kansas City area, we would fish for bass in the farm ponds, and we would go on a day of a game, and we'd get up in the morning and go out fishing, and didn't go to the ballpark at noon like the players do now, but we fished an awful lot. And, you know, guys would come into the locker room with their fishing clothes on and say, "Hey, I caught a 6-pounder today," and it was part of the clubhouse banter. But we did that. I did that in spring training down in Fort Myers fishing for snook. I first learned about snook in the early 70s, fishing off of Fort Myers Beach, Big San Carlos Pass in the south of Fort Myers Beach. One night, I think I hooked 16 snook, and I was a snook fisherman from there on. It's a tremendous sport, and I'm getting to do that now down here in Florida.
Which brings me to my question that I'm sure everybody wants me to ask. What is your favorite species to go after?
You know what, I'm not inclined to think about one fish. You know, like I mentioned, we go up to Lac Seul and fish for walleye.
Nice.
I was fishing with Jose Wahebe in Los Sueños in Costa Rica. We caught 64 sailfish over 3 days. I've caught salmon and steelhead in California and trout. It just doesn't make any difference. Right now, my friend Garth Orge and I are chasing tarpon down here, and the tarpon have just arrived in this area, and I've never fished for tarpon before, we had one on 2 days ago, and it's quite a thrill to see a 100-pound tarpon jump out of the water. But, whatever's in season, Angelo, I'll get the tackle ready and chase them wherever I can.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. You know, far too often anglers get really hung up on a species and forget about all the rest, and they're missing out on so much fun. I think as an angler, just being out there and being on the business end of a fishing rod is for me too. I mean, that's my thrill. Doesn't matter what happens on the other end for sure. You mentioned Costa Rica.
And it's so much good time spent with friends where you can sit and talk. And, you know, everybody knows that fishing is 90% boredom and 10% panic. So you have a lot of time to visit and catch up with your good friends. So it's a great time.
You mentioned fishing off the coast of Costa Rica. I had a very similar experience, but share yours with me, will you?
You remember the late Jose Wahebe. He was the Spanish Fly. He had a great TV show, and my friend took me with him to Los Sueños in Costa Rica, and we were fishing for sailfish, and we were 40 miles off the coast, and it was like a lake. It was just beautiful for 3 days, and then we caught so many sailfish, we got tired of catching them, but it was terrific. And Jose was such a great guy. He wanted to catch a sailfish on a fly rod, and certainly we had that opportunity when the mate had a teaser out, and we had a sail come up on the teaser, and he just kept bringing that teaser closer and closer to the boat, and the sailfish kept coming closer and closer until they got it within casting range of that fly. And sure enough, Jose Wahebe hooked up on a big sail and caught a sailfish on a fly rod, which was really something to see.
Oh, my God. I've never seen that done. So, yeah, that would have been spectacular. I had a very similar incident off of the coast in Costa Rica. We were a little farther than 40 miles. I think we were closer to 80. It was a long haul. It was a half a day out and a half a day in. But the same experience as you. When we got there, it was like we had stepped into a not just a different world, a different time. It was flat. It was like a mill pond out in the middle of the ocean. And when we stopped the engine, maybe it was the fact that the engine came to a halt and the noise stopped, but for whatever reason, it attracted every single billfish in the area, marlin and sailfish, and they were porpoising around the boat, Buck. It was the weirdest thing to see. They were porpoising all around us. And, of course, needless to say, the 3 hours we spent fishing were basically being hooked up from start to end until we had to head back in. But that can be stories like that. They can be memories for a lifetime, and certainly that is for me. And it's funny that you had a very similar experience off the coast of Costa Rica. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know what, and that's the beauty of fishing salt water, because you never really know what you're going to see on any given trip. And we saw spinner dolphins. We saw hundreds of spinner dolphins in a big pod. And, you know, it's just great to get out on the water. And you know, I spent a lot of my time in New Jersey, and we went off of out to the Hudson Canyon and fished for tuna. And we caught a bunch of 80 to 100-pound yellowfin tuna. But we also caught two swordfish and a white marlin that same trip. And it was incredible to be out there at night, and the boat is surrounded by squid, and then the squid leave, and all of a sudden you're getting hooked up on different kinds of fish. It was spectacular, and that's quite a tradition there in New Jersey to go out to the canyon and chase the billfish and the tuna.
Oh, fantastic. Anytime you can get out, it's a great opportunity. My friend, I want to give you an open invitation. First of all, I've got to get you on the Fishing Canada show. We've talked about that for eons. I got to get you on the show because I want to spend some time with you on the bow of a boat. But you're welcome to join us anytime here on Outdoor Journal Radio as well. Don't be a stranger. And keep us informed on your fishing activities. Send us images. We'll put them up on our website.
That would be awesome, Angelo. I appreciate your time. And hopefully I'll be able to see all the fans on television as we get the baseball season started at some point.
Oh, my God. Won't that be refreshing? Thank you, my friend. I know you're heading out to fish right now as we speak. So you have yourself a wonderful day, a great weekend.
All right, Angelo. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
You too. Buck Martinez, former professional baseball catcher, manager. He did it all. And now a play-by-play announcer, broadcaster, and he is the face of baseball. Wonderful having you on the program. More Journal after this. Don't you dare go away.